trouble. While I was waiting for the school bus on Monday, I had a horrifying realization. People were going to ask me why my mom had pulled me out of the dance on Friday night. By the time the bus pulled up at my stop, I was convinced that as soon as I got on, all eyes would immediately swing to the front, pinning me in the merciless glare of mass teenage inquisition. Of course, nobody even looked my way. Renee Albert went running onto the bus right before me, and you just don't get a lot of attention if you're walking behind Renee Albert. A 7-foot-tall Mickey Mouse could have slipped on in between us, but all anyone would have seen was Renee's outfit or her new hair or the gigantic charm bracelet Biff had given her when he met her after the dance. So I was okay. I sat down alone in a seat with my head kind of tucked down into my sweatshirt. It was a really stupid and pointless defense, like when a turtle tucks into its shell because a locomotive is barreling down on it. In my case, Annette was the locomotive. She came over to me and completely ignored the fact that I was trying to burrow my way through the bottom of my seat and into the luggage compartment.
"Hi, Stephen, are you all right? I was worried about you all weekend. Is everything okay at your house? My mom said she saw Get Well balloons tied to your mailbox the other day. Or are you in trouble for something? Did your parents find out you skipped out of math last week? If that's what it is, I'm so sorry. It's all my fault. I'll tell them if you want me to. It's..."
"Annette, this has nothing to do with you. It's a family thing, and I'm fine. I'm fine."
"So you're not mad at..."
"I said I'm fine."
"Okay, I was just asking. You've changed lately, though."
"I have not changed lately."
"Yes, you have. You never do your work anymore. You space out all day unless you're in band, and you yell at me half the time when I try to talk to you."
"Oh yeah? If I've changed so much, how come no one else has noticed anything?"
"Well, I just think..."
"I'm serious, Annette. Nothing's wrong. Everything's perfectly normal. I'm just tired of school, that's all. And my mom picked me up because we had to go somewhere. You have to give me credit for that last one. I didn't lie to her."
"All right, Stephen. Whatever."
"So, how was your weekend, Annette? Did you practice a lot? Are you gonna be ready for Juilliard?" I thought for sure I could distract her by starting a discussion about the whole piano genius thing, but it didn't entirely work. She knew something was up. And even if she couldn't immediately tie me down and administer truth serum on a yellow bus in the middle of South Main Street, I could see in her eyes that she was wanting to wrestle the info out of me somehow. Well, the keyboard-themed small talk smoothed over the end of the bus ride, anyhow. I made it through homeroom without speaking to anybody and was just settling in for a nice period of off-topic journal writing in Miss Palma's class when the intercom blared, calling me to the office. As I was walking out of class, I could feel two pairs of eyes pinned on me. Miss Palma gave me a sad, sympathetic look, and Annette was studying me like she was Sherlock Holmes and I was a handkerchief at a crime scene. The school secretaries told me to walk through the front office into the guidance area. Whatever was about to happen to me apparently had a mental health angle. I had become what my mom refers to as a student concern. The counselor waved me right into her cubicle-y office and gestured toward a seat. I had never been there before, but I got the vibe pretty fast. If you're into pastels and motivational posters, that little cube is definitely the place to be.
"Stephen, my name is Mrs. Galley. I called you today because some of your teachers are concerned about you."
Something about this situation got my inner smart-mouthed child going. I would kind of hope all of my teachers are concerned about me. But if you would kindly tell me which ones aren't, maybe I could buy them some apples or something.
"Stephen, I think you know what I mean. You're here because you have apparently stopped doing work in your major subjects. You've never been in any kind of trouble here before, but you're suddenly in danger of failing everything across the board. Can you talk to me about why that might be?" "Well, truthfully, Mrs. Galley, you may have heard about the worldwide pencil shortage.
I like to think that by skipping my homework, I'm doing my little bit to conserve." Then she did something that generally works pretty well on me. She administered the silent treatment. She just looked and looked at me. I tried desperately to occupy my attention by looking at other things in the office. The little poster with all the different smiley emotion faces on it, the stuffed animal Garfield on top of the filing cabinet, the jar of candy hearts on the desk. The candy hearts did it, in a way. They distracted me from Mrs. Galley's stare, but they also made me really want to eat one of them. After the high-power battle of wills reached an unbearable peak of tension, I asked for a candy heart.
You want a candy heart, huh?
Yes, Mrs. Galley.
Well, I have a little rule here, Stephen. You talk, you eat.
I began to realize, perhaps too late, that I had underestimated this lady. The silence fell over us again. I was not ready to tell anyone about Jeffrey. And after 3 weeks of keeping this secret in, I was darn well not going to crack over a stupid piece of penny candy. Just then, the bell rang. Okay, I guess I'll just be going now. It was nice meeting you. Thanks for nearly giving me some candy.
Hold on, Stephen. You have gym this period, don't you?
Yes. Why?
Did you ever wonder what all of your subject teachers do second period if every single student on your team has gym?
Well, not really. Do they hang out behind the shop room and smoke unfiltered camels?